We'll have a word from President Staley, following which he will lead us in our morning prayer.
Brethren, I have a very brief word. It is, please be in chapel tomorrow morning if you possibly can, and encourage as many others of our students to be here as you're able. There will be three parts, really, and you will get out by 10:30, believe it or not, unless you sing too many Christmas carols. We are going to sing, and the congregation will sing, so Brother Smith tells me, a number of Christmas carols. But there are two other elements or parts of the service which I'm very eager that the whole student body be here to participate in. Now may we bow together in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we recognize as we bow in days of such deep need throughout the whole earth, what a privilege it is to those who know that the universe, thyself, art on our side. Give us, we pray, not only minds that recognize this truth, but depths of being that thrill to it. And those things above the mind that pertain to our understanding, to our depth of insight and feeling, in ways that we cannot describe, we know that thou art God for the whole man, body and mind and soul. Thrill us, especially this Christmas season, with the knowledge of him who broke through, so that men estranged could be reconciled, so that men who were in the darkness could see the great light, so that children could be born in hope, that mankind could have before it the eternal ideals of perfectness which we find in him and which we believe thou didst reveal through him. Grant us, we pray, cleansing of heart and mind and purpose. Give to us forgiveness as we are forgiven, outgoingness as the Master himself was constantly going out toward all men with prayer and with yearning. Grant in this seminary high and noble ideals, consecrated study, and depth and sincerity of purpose. Bless the one who comes to us this morning to have his part in the life of leadership in this seminary. May thy thoughts be in his heart and in his mind, and may they find proper expression through his lips, that we may see, as he sees, a part of thy great purpose for us all. Bless everyone who needs thy special blessing deeply and personally. And bless us all together, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father has put together many things to make our seminary family and our 10 years of work and life together exceptionally good and wonderful. I think among the most wonderful blessings which he has given to us has been the blessing of missionaries resident upon our campus through the years. And there's been no group among this larger group that's meant more to us than have the medical doctors who've lived among us, missionary doctors. This morning we have one of these missionary doctors to lead our chapel service, Dr. Keith Edwards, missionary in Africa, Nigeria in particular. He's a physician and a surgeon, a wonderful person, a good friend to all who know him, a loving father. He has three wonderful children. He went to the University of South Carolina, from there to Bowman Gray School of Medicine, and then, having finished all the necessary internships and so forth, he went then to Africa to the mission field, there serving as surgeon and practitioner and all the other things missionaries have to do. We're delighted to have him this morning with us. And after the reading of a verse of scripture and the singing of the choir special, Dr. Edwards will bring us the message of the morning. I'm reading from the third chapter of the Colossians, verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
I think that today our concept of missions and missionaries perhaps is not accurate, particularly the concept that we find in churches among juniors and intermediates of shining white knights and white armor marching forth under the banner of Christ from victory unto victory. Unfortunately, this is not true. 3 years ago, when we went to Nigeria, we found a very different country. The people were different from what we had imagined they would be. They were different from us. They were different in skin coloration. Their hair was different. Their clothing was different. Even their customs were different. I remember one of the humorous things that happened to us when we first arrived. We got off of the boat, having been for a month on a freighter. We're ushered into a Chevrolet and started off at 35 miles an hour on the left-hand side of the road. And I began to draw in because we were on the wrong side of the road. Then I suddenly realized that this was the right side of the road in Nigeria. To compound my excitement and disturbance over this, however, the road was only big enough for one automobile, and when we met another one, we had to get off onto the dirt shoulder. That wouldn't have been too bad if there hadn't been about 1,000 bicycles riding on that shoulder with their bells ringing furiously, and it seemed innumerable women with long flowing cloth, a baby tied to their back, carrying a head load on their head, hurrying along too. In the midst of this, we dashed along at what seemed a tremendous speed after being on a slow freighter for a month and blew our horn just madly. Beep, 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 as if to say, get out of the way, we're coming through. I thought to myself, whenever my car gets off of that boat and I start up country, I'm not going to rudely blow my horn at everybody I see. This is the rudest thing I've ever seen. I didn't say anything about it, but those were my thoughts. A week passed and they finally unloaded the ship. We got into our car and started up country, and I was very careful not to blow the horn at everyone. First, a bicycle darted in front of me, then someone else, then a few children ran out in the road to play. Finally, after nearly hitting one or two, one man turned around and shook his fist at me and said in pidgin English, "Hey, you want I should die? Why you no horn me?" So I decided that even the custom there was different. I was being very impolite to expect him to watch out for me, and I hadn't even blown my horn to let him know I was coming. The polite thing was to blow your horn so that he wouldn't have to pay attention to the road all the time, only when you let him know that you're coming. Things are different. Buying was different. Like the day I went to the market and bought 2 dozen hard-boiled rotten eggs because I didn't know that you couldn't always depend on whether the eggs would be fresh. The language was different. Like the day I looked steadfastly at a patient and tried to repeat exactly what she had said to me because I had not heard that before, and my interpreter burst out laughing and said, "You've just called her a fool." Many things were different. And yet, as I began to know the people, I came to find that not everything was different. I remember a little boy named Bomb Boy who was brought to our hospital. He was 6 years old and he had a tropical ulcer on his hip. One of those ulcers that gets deep and big quickly in spite of treatment. We gave him penicillin injections, streptomycin injections. We put applications of acroflavin on the wound, but in spite of this, it continued to get bigger and deeper. After 3 days, I decided that perhaps there was also a fungus infection in the wound as well as the bacteria present, and so I ordered alcoholic solutions of salicylate to be put into the wound. This was done 3 times a day. And each time, little Bomb Boy would bite his lip to try not to cry because it burned when it was instilled into the wound. We all got to like Bomb Boy. I went home, told my children about him, and asked them wouldn't they like to take some of their old toys up for him to play with because he would be in the hospital for a long time. And so they carried some of their toys for Bomb Boy to play with, and he was thrilled to death. I'm sure that these were the first store-bought toys that he had ever seen. Because he lives in a poorer section of Nigeria, and in his particular area, there are no toys sold in stores. His family, I'm sure, had made playthings and given to him. In spite of our treatment, Bomb Boy did not do well. I remember one night about 9:30, as I was walking through the ward, seeing about some other patients, I saw Bomb Boy lying in his bed with his hands folded, his father kneeling beside the bed and the grandfather kneeling beside the father, each one praying that Bomb Boy would get well. And as I knew him and loved him as a patient, I prayed in my heart with them that God would help him soon to be well. After they completed the prayer, the grandfather went back to Joe and Krama and went to sleep at his house. The father unrolled a grass mat on the cement floor and slept beside Bomb Boy's bed. Bomb Boy's condition did not improve. This ulcer penetrated into the inside, and I had to perform an operation to divert the flow of his digestive processes. After the operation, I called his father in and said, "I hate to tell you this, but I do not believe Bomb Boy can live." His father shook his head. I said, "There is one hospital, though, 600 miles from here in Ibadan, where the government has built a 500-bed hospital complete with x-ray and laboratory facilities and all of the things necessary to help him get well. Perhaps if we could send him there, they could determine exactly what germ or what bacteria is causing this and know what medicine to give him." The father shook his head. He said, "Lord knows I'd like to save my boy, but I don't have the money to take him." I was a little taken back. It would only have taken about $25 to get Bomb Boy to that hospital, and then the government would have paid his bill because this is a socialized country with socialized medicine available on referral of a doctor. I just couldn't let it go at that, so I went to see the pastor of the Joe and Krama Baptist Church. He talked to his people, and they got together a fund of money to help. The missionaries on the station got together a little bit to help. And the day came for Bomb Boy to go. He had the money necessary to go. And we saw him off, hopeful that he would soon return to join Krama well. But 3 days after he reached Ibadan, we received word that Bomb Boy was dead. Now, when I heard that Bomb Boy was dead, I went back to my bedroom, and I knelt down beside the bed, and I prayed, saying, "Lord, why? Why did you ask me to come out here? I've done everything I know to do. We've given penicillin and streptomycin. chloramycetin. We've earnestly prayed for this boy. And here in Joe and Crama, where we need every Christian we've got, why does this third generation Christian die at the age of 7? I've never received an answer to that prayer. I don't know why specifically that Bomboy died, but I know this. There is no difference in death. Whether you're black or white, there is no difference. Whether you wear a double-breasted suit or long flowing Agbada robes, there is no difference in death. And what do we have to offer the Father who has called his son Bomboy, which means one fine boy, because he's had hopes and prayers in his heart that his son would amount to something great, and he's seen those hopes turn to ashes in his fingertips, and he's felt the taste of death in his mouth like a piece of cold metal. What do we have to offer him? What can I say to this man? What I did say is embodied in the anthem that I asked to be sung today. Jesus walked this lonesome valley. Jesus, who was in heaven, equal to and one with God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped and held on to. But he emptied himself of everything which would not be consistent with becoming a human being, and he walked this lonesome valley. And he walked it by himself. Yes, even God, our Creator, knows us because he has been one of us. And I can go to Bomboy's father and encourage him by saying, Jesus, whom we call the Son of God, was equal to and one with God, and he emptied himself out and became a man, and he knows our sorrows, and he knows our suffering, and he knows death. Even our very God, who has become man and offered us salvation where we could not obtain it ourselves. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we come with humble thanks and awe and wonder when we realize that Thou, who art a mighty God, was even willing to empty out divinity to come and walk where we are and know us and love us and offer us so great a salvation. O Lord God, help us to take up this example. Help us to follow after Thee, to love Thee, and worship Thee, and offer ourselves as impure and incomplete as we are, as instruments for Thy service. For we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake.